when I was growing up, I don't think people really looked at it like you had to be great at it. I mean, if you tried, you were accepted just as well. At least I was. And it's difficult growing up with a family that's all sports. And they never helped me with sports. I learned it all on my own.
I just want to comment. My husband would say, what if, for instance, what if you had a flat tire? And I'd go out by myself. I'd say, well, I'll just get out of the car and stand there and look helpless.
It works too. It sure works.
It's quicker to change your own tire.
I change it
to a safer tire.
Yeah.
What about, well, I remember my years in the parish with so many divorces followed this pattern. It'd be a couple about my age, maybe younger, maybe in the 30s. A woman would read a book like this, become aware, sensitized, her own growth, her own development. The man had a game going for 15 years that was definitely tilted towards his advantage, and he couldn't handle this, would not accept her doing this, would become very angry, blame it on the livers who influenced her, and then there'd be a divorce. A lot of hurt, a lot of pain, and a lot of bitterness on both parts. And it's, I guess the question I'd ask, this is true of my generation a lot, is it getting any better? Or if you want to just bring anything else up, that's a question.
I'm not that much younger than you, but I think women in my age bracket, late 20s, early 30s, are threatening, still threatening to men. When I came through high school and college, it was, you're bright, do all you can be, you can have everything. And encouraged to do that, but yet not feeling connected with that. The bra burning set.
And with the what, Jen?
The bra burning set. The anger. That I think women who are 15, 20 years older than I am had to be angry to make some changes. And so now I'm not exactly seeing the connectedness now, but I think women, men and women are threatened by each other equally still, and I think that's some of that.
Do women at the village here feel like their intellectual opinion is listened to as readily? Are we a liberated community?
I see it that way. If you're talking about roles, and I mean the end result is that both sexes do lots of varieties of things up here. And I remember from my stereotyped mind when I came that when there was a woman garbologist, I just about fainted. But and it just, you know, it took me about 2 days to come to terms with that, and nothing to it, you know. It's just a new idea.
I don't know how, if we realize how strong this is how traditionally, and I think this is in my past, that is being threatened out by women that are smart, bright, intellectual.
I'm threatened by him too.
I remember once Karen and I compared our IQs from our junior high files.
Oh no!
Very important to both of us that I was 1 point ahead of her.
You know, those change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they have. Do we know how strong this has been in the past? And how, I noticed this in parish hall for many, many men, how hard it is to relate to a woman, both on an intellectual level and as a friend. Both of us. Yeah.
Well, I know that
some things have changed, at least externally. I can clearly remember our first woman student who was accepted to work in the lab at the refinery downtown. Before that, well, they simply didn't have facilities and it wasn't practical and all that. But she managed to make them see it differently, and now the majority of their employees in that lab, student employees and several other full-time supervisors, are women. I can remember where it was unusual for one of our women students to be admitted to medical school, and now it's quite usual that the first one in a particular class to be admitted will be a woman. So there have been some changes within the last 10, 15 years, even if there's still a long ways to go.
Can I change the topic back to men? I feel like, you know, we've talked about the women's issue lots and lots, but maybe the male focal point, I'd like to raise an issue for me. How do I help men that I know, that I care about, feel like it's all right to emote? It's okay to cry. It's all right to be angry. You know, you accept the consequences of what you do when you think about them, but you can be angry. Or you can, it's okay to be, to help somebody be physical, be able to be physical with another man. I mean, hugs, show affection, to be able to make friends. Those are vital, vital parts of who we are as people. Anybody got any ideas?
And everything you read says that in all the research and practically, men have a very difficult time making friends with other men, mm-hmm. especially if they get older.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas women find it easier to be intimate with other women the older they get.
That's right.
It really hit me, that one paragraph in the book, how men with other men spend it almost, seems like almost all the time talking about inanimate objects.
Yeah. Do you think that's true?
Yeah.
I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that...
But I don't want, just excuse me, I don't want to leave that Patty's question. But
yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
What she said about how men feel that any type of relationship with men of the opposite sex has to ultimately end up with sex. I wonder if that has something to do with it, because if they have that in the back of their mind, then automatically any type of relationship with another guy is ruled out.
That's right.
Is it true?
If that's true.
Well, is it true for most men here that you get your sense of identity and manliness through how you relate to women? Are we the ones that make you feel like men or not men? Or is human beings?
I think that's a good question.
Depends on where your priorities are, Mary. Really. There are guys that, you know, live for women, I think, you know, are more comfortable around them, just this, really into the game, so to speak. And there are others who aren't. I don't know if that's a... I don't know if it's a good criteria.
I think intellectually it's more important for me to do well in front of men than everything else about in front of women. So it's whether necessary for me to be. Unless there was a woman that was probably threatening me with her intelligence. But I'm thinking of academic settings. Wanting to do very well in wanting to impress men just as much or more than women, but I'm not sure that was true for other parts of life.
I think that was because you were afraid of them and what they would say or think.
Yeah, and that's where most of the competition was against the men. So here's
I think it's in the same vein, but when I was in college, it's very difficult to be an elementary education major because they were really looked down upon. If you had enough brains to be involved in any kind of intellectual pursuit, you certainly weren't going to be an elementary education major. That was just the assumption that people worked on. And a male elementary education major just suffered miserably from stereotypical kinds of things. I don't know why any guy would have gone into elementary education and put up with that kind of garbage.
Trying to Patty's question in mind. One of the ways is for you or for a group to give permission for the things that you say you desire from men or behalf of men. Still, that's counterculture. The one phrase that comes to my mind is, little boys do not cry. I think everyone says that to boys when they fall and hurt themselves. I mean, that isn't, I'm not even sure people realize it when they say that, but that's the natural thing to get a boy to stop crying, and it goes from there. Part of that probably is culture. I mean, if you think in terms of what it means to be manly, you've asked for some things that run counter to the typical way in which we have received messages about what it means to be manly. I can remember the time I was most proud of my dad. He was giving a sermon or a message at a funeral of a very close friend, and he broke, just broke, church full of people, Columbus, Ohio, the big church, because it was a seminary professor who died. Nobody else had broken. I mean, everything had gone well. It was a long pause, and he said, Jesus went to the funeral of a friend and he wept, and they said, see how he loved him. I weep, and everybody says, what's the matter with him? Then he could go on. I mean, then nobody could say, what's the matter? I mean, my dad was also a good debater, I guess. But what he was doing is saying, culturally, it was a mark of the manliness of Jesus that he wept at Lazarus' funeral, and that's not true anymore. So, of course, he was embarrassed, culturally. But I thought, you know, I thought he said it, and that it was a really fine time. But do you not, and I guess I'm not just asking Patty, I'm asking, do you not give evidence of appreciating some other qualities more than the ones you named most of the time?
In men?
In men, yes. Do you really affirm men emoting? I'm not sure.
But I think the important thing is, can men affirm each other emoting?
Yeah, that's important. Yeah. I'm trying. I thought Patty was saying, I'm a woman, what can we do?
Oh,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think the other is probably...
Well, yes, that and how can I affirm men and men?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all I can do.
Yes.
There's a double bind in that for me, because I'm good at helping people, fixing people. And that's my feminineness for me. And I get boxed up in that. And I'm good at it, and I give it to a man because I want that man to have it. But am I boxed up then in my feminineness and not trying to be a whole person? I get real mixed up with all that.
Can I say something about that? I don't see why you label your ability to do that as feminism. Many men can do that same thing. They don't say, that's my manliness. I can relate that way.
I'm afraid of getting caught in some of the old boxes that women were caught in before. I realize that that's just a label, a social label that I'm putting on it right now. And I should quit doing that, because I've been doing that too much lately. But I'm afraid of falling back into what has been typically female. But I'm good at that.
I also have to say something about John mentioned something about Patty, sure, about emoting. I often wonder if women can understand when a man is emoting. They recognize that he is understanding or feeling emotions. If it's not the man's. The man is just, a woman doesn't understand sometimes when a man is experiencing some deep emotions.
So what you're saying is, if we could get the right feedback when you're going through that, maybe we wouldn't have the reaction that you see, which is one of saying, man, he's a man, because he doesn't have any emotions. Because they're so well hidden and buried from our view that we can't relate to what we can't tell is there. In other words, we don't read minds.
Maybe something, I've worked with men a lot the last 10 years, the last longer than that, very closely, day by day, and recognize, they recognize in me when something is up, and it's subtle, very subtle signs, and maybe a wife and a husband can relate and understand it, being together very often, but often I don't think in the growing statistics of single females and males, they recognize some of the signs.
I don't think they do either.
So I get back to Pat's question.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that she's right. There need to be some encouragement on both parts, though, but also understanding that it's a hard work on both parts too.
Well, how do you feel when a woman says it's okay if you cry? I mean, what if you don't feel like crying? If she guesses wrong, you know.
Well,
does it feel good?
I've seen, I've been with men who cried quite a bit. And it's nothing new to me. My case is different, I think, because I've been with guys that work together so much and got to know each other well that I'm not saying that's mainstream the rest of the working population as far as male-to-male relationships and business or day-to-day things. But I live with the guys day by day, 24 hours in my job. We got to know each other very well over a period of years. I was working as team members, but it's different from other lines of work. So I can't really comment on statistics somebody cited about males as they get older, finding it harder to relate to other males, because as I've got older and got longer in a job, we got closer and more understanding about each other's feelings. It's like being with brothers.
I think to be really effective at liberating, it does have to start earlier. Some of the comments have already indicated that as long as the little boy is told, boys don't cry, and no matter what the parents say, some relative or someone in the supermarket or someone is going to say that. And then they go to school and perhaps some teacher is going to say it, the other boys are going to sneer at the one who does cry. And as long as in junior high school every male is expected to be competitive at athletics or somehow be less than human, that by the time the man is grown up, it becomes quite difficult to change the behavior very much, I think.
I was, we were carefully taught in seminary as pastors never to cry in a counseling or with people in grief. Do you remember this? Mm-hmm. And the reason was that there has to be one person there to hold everybody else up. You know, and when I went out into the parish, I believed that and realized how when I was with people that were very dear, I was just denying all of my humanness to follow this little rule. And I think everybody can reach a point of conversion and way of liberation. You know, I kind of just decided I'm not going to do that. And since that time, I had lots of fun just crying with people, you know. I mean, you also had to stop crying and plan the funeral. I mean, you just couldn't blubber, all the way until you got to the funeral and nothing was planned. What a denial of my humanity as a pastor. You know, what are we called to be if we're not called to be human? Go ahead.
Through some of my personal experiences, I have been a person that has always loved helping people. I have always been a person who has loved helping other people, girls, guys, whoever. I I'm not ashamed at all to say I have cried in front of girls who have been willing to help me with problems I have had. And I say the same for them. I feel that if a man is to cry, there's no sin against it. Everybody cries. And whether you cry in front of a girl or whoever, I don't think too many people really, they'll think it's weird maybe for a guy to cry in front of a girl, but I've been brought up that I feel if you're going to treat them the same way you'd help me, you can, in a sense, it's more or less a courtesy type, not a courtesy, I don't know how to put it, but it's equality for each to do to each other. And I'm personally not afraid to cry in front of a girl. And I've always felt good after I've done it. And I think when a guy cries in front of a girl, they respect them more for doing it. And that's really about all I've got to say about it.
Some things are a matter of style. And sometimes in Southern society, where we're very close to the 18th and early 19th century, where men cried at funerals and the preacher and everybody else cried at those deathbed sermons that I remember so well, those same men would not cry when hurt. You could probably mutilate them and they wouldn't cry. There was a stoic sense that it's a lousy sense of style to cry. And when I started working with young women at the railroad, and I was the chief and they were under my direction, I'd bark at them the same as I would anybody else. One girl cried. And she was so chagrined about that it wasn't, not was, it just circulated around that Hildy cried. And so it was bad style. And Hildy got tougher as the months went on, and never cried again. And on the railroad job like that, to cry is not a matter of men and women, it's a matter of style.
Anybody want to respond? Well, go ahead.
When I sprained my ankle, I was in severe pain. But I was concentrating very much on not crying. I remember that. But for it, you know, in an emotional situation, I had cried. But I just kind of emphasized what Jim just said. It's not the thing to do. That's what I've been conditioned to.
You don't lick your plate and you don't cry when you're hurt.
Yeah.
I think that would have scared us a lot more if he'd cried. Then we would have felt you were out of control. And I think it would have scared us if he'd cried. And I sense that you would sense that.
Well, yeah, I had to maintain control.
Yeah, so that we wouldn't get freaked out.
If it would have been a woman spraining her ankle and she had cried, would you assume she was out of control?
Yeah.
This same thing happened to me a year ago, and I didn't cry either because I had to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I felt like I had to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's say I was conditioned, like probably every other man in here was, not to cry. But I grew up in a different experience than probably most of the people here have with divorce. And that made me... I was a very sensitive person, still am, and it helped me growing. I didn't get a lot of my emotions out until around 19, 20 years old, when I'm starting to finally get my emotions out of how I held all my tears in when I was young, until people started getting me to talk about what had happened in my family, and they said it would make you feel better, and it really has. I'm trying to deal with a lot of personal problems through a divorce, and even though I was conditioned not to cry, I still feel you can cry to anyone and not feel shame.
About the crying and the pain, I don't know if this is right, but See, like when I was a kid and I fell down and hurt myself, I'd cry. And I think a lot of that, not necessarily was from pain, but just from being scared. Where now, as an adult, if I get hurt, I know what happened. I understand what happened. And so I don't cry, not because I don't feel, you know, I'd be ashamed if I cried. But I don't cry because I don't feel a need to cry. I don't know, man.
That makes sense. You know, it's good.
You know why real men go to movies? Lights are turned down?
Cry.
You can't see him cry when the scenes get sad.
What about the other issue of having friends? This is another thing it's different here, but I always observed in the parish, if a married man would start to develop a friendship with a single woman or a married woman married to another man, the gossip would start, people would start looking at this. Other men would not approve of it. A divorced woman was a threat to all other, or a single woman. Mm-hmm. And so much of it has to do with just kind of, we don't have permission as adults to be friends with the opposite sex or even with our own sex.
I consider gossip the least of my problems, and therefore if it happens to me here at Holden or in Minneapolis, I just don't worry about it very much. I have restrained myself all evening. I haven't quoted anybody yet.
That's
what the gossip was. Samuel Johnson, who's a sort of... I'm shooting my whole cool, Rick. Samuel Johnson, the 18th century, is sort of a hero of mine. He said, the best conversation in the world is with a woman. And somewhere in that conversation, the amorous fires smolder. And that is so marvelous. Because with many women, and holding in another place, there is an awareness of amorous smoldering fires that oftentimes in a quiet conversation about whether you like coffee or tea, it's still there. It's like piles of leaves quietly giving off steam on a frosty morning.
All right.
The sexual awareness of the other person helps conversations everywhere, in and out of church.
That's called the difference between sexuality and sex.
That's right.
But doesn't that go right back to every relationship that has sex as the end product?
I think that and I'm wondering if one barrier is not ask if any other men have felt this in relating to other men, but perhaps if that's true, that sex is the end of every relationship, and that's why men don't strike up relationships with other men unless they're homosexual. And I'm wondering if there is a real homophobia among men. And Janet has a joke on Sly, all the good guys are homosexual. And there is a real stereotype that homosexuals are ones with feelings don't have muscular bodies, the ones that are not afraid to show emotion, that have more feminine characteristics. And I'm wondering if other men feel that. As a heterosexual, I kind of resent that stereotype is there. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if others feel that.
I'd like to respond to that a little bit. I don't think that really is true. I think that maybe that's a stereotype, but I think it's being broken down all the time. Well, over the last 10, 15 years, I've had a number of very intimate relationships with other men, and they were very good for me and very good also for my friends. I never thought about, you know, whether it was right to have that or not. It was just a matter of what happened. I have a problem with some of these stereotyped images.
You know, I do too, but when I think of the homosexual men that I know, the stereotype, it's there. I mean, yeah. it
That's what, that's how stereotypes develop, is because
there are people that show feelings that don't have the muscular guys.
Also, I've heard women say that it's much easier to relate to homosexual men because there isn't that agenda.
Yeah, that's good.
Is that
That's really interesting, because a couple of our friends are, and I had never thought of that before, but it's really true. They do not threaten me in any way at all. Not at all. And I just love to be around them. And we always have such good conversations about every kind of thing. And they are very emotional with each other. Although, you know, not outrageously so, but just simply that their feelings are there and visible. And I believe they're just about the only people I know that do that consistently.
Yeah, I think that's a real problem that we have to look at, because in Africa, it's a custom for men to walk down the street holding hands and with their arms around one another. When I see men doing that here, I assume they are gay. Mm-hmm. If I see women holding hands or having their arms around each other, I don't think that. And, you know, they could be lesbian just as well, or the men don't necessarily have to be gay, but there's something in our culture that says men be very careful about an intimate relationship with another man, because everyone's going to assume that you are gay or something. You know? Mm-hmm. Maybe there's more to that than I really thought.
I still think one of the factors is the culture of us primarily being competitive.
Yep.
Because of the nature of business, and even side-by-side farmers, where you would think, well, at least the competition isn't there, but it's there in skills and strength and stoicism. When you say talk about inanimate objects, that may be true. That doesn't mean that they don't enjoy hunting together, fishing together, sitting at the bar together. So that I think a lot of men define that or describe that as the kind of relationship that they want. And I think culturally, we don't go beyond that with a kind of intimacy. And I don't mean genital sex. I mean intimacy that doesn't go beyond that. But I don't think they necessarily feel impoverished.
Now, you didn't say knitting together or cross-stitching together.
No. Why? Because culturally, the things that men can do together, I think, bring them a level of satisfaction that if you would say you are impoverished because you don't have emotional, I don't know what word to use, relationships, or you're not liberated yet because you cannot knit, I think culturally, right, most of those men would say, we don't want to knit. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing for you to assume someone has to be liberated and have a description of what that liberated person would look like.
Yep.
But
my question to Mary is, so what? In a sense, you know, and you've answered a lot of it, that I don't, you know, that some of the relationships that I have with some of the men don't necessarily get to be what I have I've heard tonight, stereotype and emoting type of relationships. It just isn't there, or it doesn't work, or it isn't what the chemistry is, I don't know, but it's still a very strong, a very powerful, and an intimate relationship, in the sense that you know, what we do is very close, you know, and what we do is, you know, unique to each other, in a sense. It's not crying together necessarily, you know, but there's a sharing, you know, there's a mind sharing and a spirit sharing that's going on, and I'm having a hard time with some of the stereotypes that I get with, you know, that are sort of being run against, you know, what's our culture, and I don't see anything wrong with, you
but
know,
George,
a lot of
would you
culture.
Cry if you chose to share something where you were crying, would you choose a man or a woman to do that with?
I don't see where that matters.
I don't think it makes a difference.
It doesn't make,
well,
you know,
I mean, I thought
what,
I heard you saying you wouldn't share it, that you did not do that with your friends.
It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that the stereotype of intimacy and emoting with another man is crying, and that's what I hear sort of being flawed. You know, that's a stereotype that we maybe we should have, and that's not true. I don't feel that stereotype that we should need to generate. I don't feel that stereotype.
I also heard over here from Bruce that, you know, some things have gotten pent up for him and through the years, and now that is the mode by which he can deal with some of that. So, I mean, I guess what I'm thinking is that both modes should be available to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we look at cultures around the world, and not necessarily our own, you know, both modes certainly are. You know, not, it's just maybe not as strong or as reinforced in North American Anglo-Saxon Protestant cultures. Not to say that there's not cases or groups or people or individuals, you know, that use that, that Mike talked about, you know, and some of the relationships with the people he had. I mean, we worked in the construction business, and there were several guys that just cracked up, you know, on our crews too, and had some of the same kind of responses. You know, and it's not nearly the close relationship that, you know, some of the working relationship to Mike would have had, but it's, I don't know. I don't like the handle there.
It's a close thing. Just let me object for a second. When I played football, that was a very emotional thing. I mean, I've never seen anything quite like it. It's, okay, it may be the manly sport within the locker room at a game time or something. It was, I mean, you could feel that intensity. If you lost the game, there'd be people in just tears if it was the hometown rival and things like that. Sometimes, I don't know if the... We get so caught up when we talk about sexuality and equality and all that kind of stuff in those two particular stereotypes, the emotion and that. But for instance, the stereotypes that I think of when I think of the sexual problem, the I don't know, the women's movement, is in terms of the rational reasoning man and the emotional feeling woman. And I gotta wonder, where did all this come from? I mean, it used to be thought, my mother said, this when I was a little kid, she said, Tim, the father is the head of the home. He's the mind. The mother is the heart of the home. She's the feeling. And it's that way because the marriage is one. That when you put the reason and the thinking and that kind of stuff together with the feeling, then you can move in a whole direction. And it seems like in this day and age, what we're working to do or attempting to do is bring a wholeness from that togetherness within in the marriage, that whatever that sprouted this whole thing, and make individuals within a couple whole. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Both emotionally stable, being able to deal with one's feelings, and at the same time be able to think and reason.
And you think that's wrong?
No. Oh. Yes. Absolutely not.
I think that's
is that the way it was coming off, that it was wrong?
No.
No, that's what it's got to be. But what I'm getting at is that's where it came from. You know, the whole split comes from that idea that in marriage, you're marrying that emotional, that feeling, that heart with the mind type concept. That's where I think we get it. That's my theory.